a somewhat tenuous connection to Parshas Noach. I thought we'd talk a little bit about the prohibition of Bishul Basar V'Chalav. Bishul Basar V'Chalav, a fascinating thought exists. Strictly speaking, Bishul Basar V'Chalav is an Issur D'Oraisa. Not only an Issur D'Oraisa, it's a three times stated Issur D'Oraisa, which the Gemara tells us is actually there to teach us three different Issurim. Prohibition of cooking, a prohibition of eating, and a prohibition of benefiting. But the Ketzef Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Tumas Meis, in Parak Aleph Halacha Beis, the Ketzef Mishnah suggests that there is a distinct relationship between at least two of these concepts, that the prohibition of Bishul is really not what the Torah was concerned about. It's a little hard to believe at first, because again, that's the word that you find in all three contexts. But that aside, we'll get to that in a minute. But that really the Torah's interest is in the prohibition of achila. That really we're meant not to eat basar v'chalav. Without getting into right now the Tamei HaMitzvahs, or the suggested Tamei HaMitzvahs, different ideas you find in Rishon about that. We won't necessarily focus on that tonight. But just in terms of what the Torah is prohibiting, so the Torah is really prohibiting eating basar v'chalav. And when we're told that we're not allowed to cook basar b'chalav, albeit in Isser d'Araisa, the purpose of that prohibition is to keep us from eating basar b'chalav. That if we create basar b'chalav, there is a strong risk we may come to eat it. Therefore, we are told not to cook it so that we won't find ourselves in danger of eating that which we cook. And you find other impressions in this direction as well. The Chassam Sofer is Chidushim Techulin. You know, you can question whether you can be Medayik so much from this, but when the Gemara tells us that the three different Yisurim come from three different, from the three Psukim, so the Gemara says, Echal the Eser Achila, Echal the Eser Bishul, Echal the Eser Hanas. So the first thing it mentions is the Eser Achila. So it says the Chassam Sofer, why does it mention that first? Because that's what it's all about. Now you could ask, and you probably have already in your mind, so why does the Torah use the word Bishul all three times if really our interest is really on the Yisra Achila? So that the Rambam really talks about. The Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuris, so the way he interprets that is that this is a way of saying that eating is extremely Asur. That the Torah doesn't even have to say eating is Asur, because the Torah makes it so clear how bad Basar B'chalav is by even Asuring its creation. So since even cooking it is Asur, it is self-evident that eating it is also Asur. And Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his comments on the Rambam, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, the marker for this idea is like the Ketzef Mishnah says. He connects the Ketzef Mishnah's comments in Tumas Meis to the Rambam's comments here, that what the Rambam is getting at is that really the Issur of Bishul is because it potentially leads to Achila. So therefore, once the Torah told you you can't even cook it, it's clear that you can't eat it either. That's really what it's all about. And indeed, Rav Yosef Engel, in his essay that we quote often, we'll mention again in Sefer Lekach Tov in Klal Ches, Rav Yosef Engel has an essay called "Im Matzinu Siag Min HaTorah." Do we ever find anywhere in Chumash that the Torah asers something, and the reason it asers it is to protect the different Isser? That we normally understand that to be a function of Dinim Derabbanan. That Chazal came and made rules to protect the Mitzvos Min HaTorah. But Rabbi Yosef Engel points out that there are times when it's not just the rabbis, the times when the Torah itself makes Yisurim, and the purpose of those Yisurim are to protect other Yisurim. So does that ever happen, he says? So he says, yeah, if I think about it, maybe I can come up with some examples, and he lists like 17, 18 examples. So one of his examples, he says, the Ketzef Mishnah in Hilchos Tumas Meis, it says that Bishul Basar B'chalav is a siag for achila. That's an example of a case where you have an Issur D'Oraisa. Clearly it's an Issur D'Oraisa. Yet its function is to prevent another Issur from happening, the Issur of eating. So on the one hand, you have this approach. You have those who lean in this direction, that really the whole purpose of prohibiting Bishul is to protect the prohibition of Achila. There are those who say otherwise. For example, the Gemara sounds a little bit like it's saying the opposite. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuf Yudalit, darshaning the Pasuk, Lo Soichel Kol Toeva. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has an expression, Kol Sheti Avti Lecha Hareyu B'Bal Toichel, that anything that the Torah declares a Toeva, so you shall not eat, And it sounds like from that Gemara that the creation of Bissel Basar B'Chalav is a Toeva. That act of creation is an act of Toeva. And once it's a Toeva, so then you shouldn't be eating it. So it sounds like it's not so much that we're told not to cook so that we don't eat. It's that the cooking is bad. And if it's such a bad thing, so we shouldn't partake of it either. So it sounds like it's the opposite direction. And the Marcheshes, in one of his essays, he interprets an opinion in the Ravashi's opinion in the Gemara Nechulin is saying the same thing. That really the real prohibition is on eating, and the real prohibition is on cooking, and once we say cooking is such a bad idea, so eating can't be a good idea either. And Chassam Sofer, his Chidushim Techulin, discusses these two possibilities as clearly existing. The Sefer on some Masechtas called Avnei Shalom was written by Rav Moshe Luria, who's a Mekobel. He also has Svarim on Nigla. So in his Chidushim on Chulin, he says that sad that the cooking is the problem. You can understand that a couple ways, that cooking is really prohibited, and therefore its results are usur, or that there's something inherently bad about this combination. And once the combination exists, and you can't, once the combination is bad, its badness extends to eating it. Nafkamina for what if it's created some other way, not necessarily through your cooking it. Okay, that's a side point. But in any event, what seems to emerge is that we see perhaps two clear possibilities. There is a trend that seems to see Bishul as a siag for Achila, and there are those who don't say that, either because they think Bishul is really an independent idea, or maybe even Bishul is everything, but don't necessarily accept this idea that Bishul is really just a concern to protect Achila. So what difference might it make? So Stei Chemed has a quote from the Sefer Yishvei Lev that suggests that maybe if you're cooking for a non-Jew, let's say you work for a non-Jew, and he asks you to cook basar b'chalav for him, and presumably he's not going to let you taste anything, which is a little hard to imagine because you probably would be able to taste if you were cooking. But let's say he doesn't let you touch anything. So he there has the premise that maybe it should be mutter to cook it, because if the situation is such that you're not going to be allowed to taste, maybe it should be mutter to cook. I'm not sure if Poskim would accept this distinction, but this is what the Stei Chemed quotes from the Yishvei Lev, that the situation where the food is not yours and you're not going to be allowed to eat it, maybe we should say that based on this notion, it should be mutter to cook it.
Stei Chemed doesn't have an issue with working in terms that you're going to make a schar.
Maybe it should be a hanav
problem.
Maybe not, because if you're, let's say, a servant, and let's say you have you're paid a flat salary, and you have to do 50 different things, so I don't know if you necessarily benefit directly from this one act. So it's an interesting question whether that's a prohibition of Hanah. You also have to figure out whether how Hanah figures into the whole picture if you
indirect
can't eat it. So that, but how does Hanah fit into the whole thing if Achila is off the table, literally off the table? So that's something that also has to be considered. But whether or not it falls Hanah, if it's part of your larger job, I'm not sure.
Even if it's a siyah, it's still a... It's usur in of itself, no?
Should be. So let's see that. So that's something we'll try to get to at the end to discuss how much that's an issue. But as we'll see, there are a lot of poskim who seem to be ready to say that the possibility of the siyag should be the defining factor. So let's take a look at those positions first. And
it's because of the luck, just because the reason isn't there.
I understand. And I respect what you're saying.
It's like a chatzishir.
So that's certainly going to come into discussion as well. So let's see how, but chatzishir also you see those possible. So let's look at the possibilities first, and let's see how it possibly fits it. So funny you should mention chatzishir. So there is a phenomenal chiddush of the Prima Gadim. The Medrash in Parshas Nasa has a statement concerning the prohibition of the Nazir to eat grapes. So the Torah says that a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to eat grapes, call Mishra Navim. So in that context, so the Medrash says that really, what does the Torah care? Another shouldn't eat grapes. The holy man's not going to eat grapes, but the difference is to make eats grapes. So the Medrash explains that it's not really about the grapes. It's about the wine. The grapes could lead to wine, so therefore the Torah asks everything. So apparently suggesting, and this also makes her go Swengel's list, that this is yet another gezeirah min haTorah. Really, there isn't any reason why the Torah would have prohibited grapes were it not for the issue of wine, but it's a gezeirah atul nazir drinking wine. So in that context, the Prima Gadim says a hafel dekhedesh. Because Dov just raised the following possibility, which I'll spell out what he means. There is a concept, the Gemara says in the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma, that there is a notion called chatzishir. What does chatzishir mean? So chatzishir is a fascinating story in of itself. But just to very briefly explain what it's about. So normally when to give one example, so the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat pork, you're not allowed to eat chazer. So what does it mean you can't eat chazer? So if you eat chazer, you get malchus. What does it mean to eat chazer and get malchus? It means to eat a kazayis, kadei achilas pras, to eat the size of an olive in the time it takes to eat a loaf of bread. So what happens if I want to have less? Let's say I have a little Hershey's Kiss made out of pork. Am I allowed to eat that? So the Gemara says, no, for sure you cannot eat that. That's called a chatzi shir. Hachatzi should be translated here not as half, but as a fraction. Any portion of a shir, less than a whole shir, is also prohibited. It doesn't have the punishment. That's the whole point of the shir, is to tell you what the punishment is. So you're not going to get malchus if you have a half a kazayis of pork. But it's also, we paskin, it's also menat Torah. Also, in our Torah, to have a chatzi shir. Now, within that, there is a whole discussion, which is what Dov was alluding to. It's a big discussion in the Achronim, interpreting a line in the Gemara, which could go a couple ways. That there was a whole camp among the Achronim who understood that chatzi shir is a siag. Also gets on the list. Right? That maybe, really, the Torah doesn't mind that you have a chatzi zayas of pork. That really shouldn't be a problem. It's not called achila. It doesn't fall in the definition of eating. That by itself would not have been a problem. And in fact, there's an opinion of the Gemara that we don't follow. That's mutter min haTorah. So why does the Torah prohibit it according to the view that we pass in like? So many achronim, not all, many achronim understood, based on a sentence in the Gemara, that it is a siyak. That we're afraid, you know, potato chips, you can't have just one, so you'll have half a kazayas and you'll finish the other kazayas too. So therefore, we're afraid you should come to have a whole shear. So we made a gzeri, you shouldn't have, the Torah made a gzeri, rather, you shouldn't have even a half a shear. So says the Prima Gada, Mahaf of the Chiddush, that based on these ideas, if a nozer wanted to have a chatzi shear of grapes, it should be mutter. Why? Because it's a gzeri le gzeri. Because grapes are a gzeri, and chatzi shear is a gzeri. So, chatzi shir of grapes is gzeira l'gzeira. So that's a peladik a chiddush. And if Svengel actually quotes this and asks on it, but by itself you can see it's a chiddush, because there is a whole discussion, this concept of why do we say ain gozrin gzeira l'gzeira, this notion that you don't have double safeguards. So that's a whole discussion why that is. But all of the explanations work off the idea that we are dealing with Yisuri d'Rabbanan. So the notion that if you have two Yisurim d'Oraisa, just because they have a framework of a gezeira, that they wouldn't apply in combination is a tremendous chiddush. So that's a big question whether or not one should accept this chiddush of the Prima Gada. So if any of you are thinking of taking upon yourselves naziris and pulling some scam with the grapes, just be aware that there's what to argue about this. But maybe we could say a little bit of an explanation that maybe what he's getting at, you could say a little bit of a thought. It's not a solidly proved point, but maybe you could say, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the Siu Siag LaTorah, first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So the Avos Rav Nosson, which is really an expanded form of Pirkei Avos, if you look at the Avos Rav Nosson over there in the beginning, so it says, the Siu Siag LaTorah, Ezehu Siag She'asa Sahatorah La'atzma. What's an example of the Siag that the Torah makes for itself? So you might be familiar with the position of the Rambam that Negiya, that Chibuk V'Nishik Barayis is an Isser D'Araisa. So he has a very good source, the Rambam. This is the Avos Rav Nosson. The Avos Rav Nosson says that that's an example of a Siag the Torah made for itself. And again, makes of Yosef Engel's list. So the question one could ask is, why is this being brought up here? So the Mishnah says, Chachamim, make a Siag for the Torah. Oh, by the way, you want to know an example of a Siag the Torah made? So why is that relevant? It's the Torah's gezeiros. Now the Mishnah is telling Chachamim to make gezeiros. So thought perhaps you could say that what the Avos Rav Nosson is getting at is that Chazal are being instructed that the gezeiros that they make should follow the pattern of the gezeiros that the Torah has. The Torah also has gezeiros. That's what the Avos Rav Nosson is telling us. And that Chazal should follow that pattern in the way they make gezeiros, in keeping with the well-known principle that kol d'takan rabbanan ke'ein d'raisa takan. The Chazal, when they made gezeiros, they tried as much as possible to pattern themselves after dinim in the Torah. So maybe we're being told here as well that Chazal are instructed to follow the path of the Torah in the way they make gezeiros. Now it's interesting, the concept goes from gezeiros to gezeiros, so there is a tosfos in Kalabasa, Parak talks about Basa B'chalav, that discusses a source for this idea of Engozrin Gezerah L'Gezerah. And the one possibility in Tosfos is it's just an obvious svar, that it's just it doesn't need its own makor. If you look in the Marsha's little discussion about what the Tosfos is getting at, the Rashash. So perhaps what the idea is that Chazal just knew it right away, that there's a concept of Engozrin Gezerah L'Gezerah. So how did they know such a concept doesn't have its own makor? So maybe that's the way the Torah operates. Chazal are told to operate based on the Torah. And maybe they knew that the Torah also doesn't make double gezeiros, doesn't build a fence on top of a fence. So that just like the Torah, when it puts into place a safeguard for its own gezeiros, doesn't double up. So Chazal know also not to double up based on modeling itself after the Torah. So again, it's not really a solid proof, but maybe just working backwards. And Schechter has an article, it was originally published in Pitzitzchok, I assume it's in one of his farim as well, that the whole point, one of the whole values of the system of Kol Tukkan Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa talking is you can sometimes work backwards. You can look at a Din D'Rabbanan and figure out how a Din D'Oraisa operates under the assumption that they're patterned after each other. So too here, maybe the fact that Chazal had this Mesorah, that you don't make a double Gezerah, maybe that's reflective of the fact that Torah operated the same way, and maybe that's what the Prima Gadim is getting at. So in any event, what does that got to do with Basa B'chalav? So if you want to then follow this whole approach, then maybe you could say that Chatzi Shir of Basa B'chalav should also be Mutter according to the Prima Gadim. So the truth is that's a whole discussion that the Chazon Ish has and that others have. The Mechas Chinuch has a discussion about this. That maybe we should say that if somebody wants to cook a Chatzi Shir of Basa B'chalav, so then that should also perhaps be subject to the rule of Ein Gozrin Gezerah L'Gezerah. So you find a little bit of a discussion about this. There's a whole Shaila in the Achronim, again, Chazon Ish and others. The Prima Gadim does not take this position. Prima Gadim does not say that it's Mutter. And he also gets involved in a discussion about what about a Chatzi Shir. He talks about what if you want to cook basu b'chalav, however much basu b'chalav, if you want to cook it less than Michael ben Drusoy. You know, we have this idea that for something to be considered cooked, it has to be like Michael ben Drusoy. It's machlokes rishonim, whether that's a halfway cooked or a third of the way cooked. So if you do less than that, it's not called cooking minatara. So what if I want to cook something less than that for a short period of time? So that's a chatzi shir be'eches. That's how the Achronim explain what he's talking about. There's the concept of chatzi shir qualitatively. That even though you're dealing with a full amount, but you're doing the action incompletely. So maybe that should also be called a chatzi shir. So then if you assume that that's a gzeira, and you assume that Bishul Basa B'chalav is a gzeira, maybe there's what to talk about. So the point is, however you say, the Prima Gadim does not take this position. Prima Gadim is not makel on this. So that itself perhaps it brings the idea that that itself brings the idea that the Prima Gadim seems to not accept this notion that Bishul Basa B'chalav is a siag, because if the Prima Gadim holds his own opinion by grapes, so the only variable here is we could trade the grapes for the Bishul Basa B'chalav and it should be mutter according to him. So the fact that he doesn't say that, perhaps he doesn't accept this whole Torah about Bishul Basa B'chalav being a siag. Prima Gadim has this whole discussion as Hagdama to Bishul Basa B'chalav. It's part of a question in general that the Achronim asked, but the Prima Gadim is one of the frontline people in this issue, that this notion that we have of Chatzi Shir, so there's a whole discussion whether it applies to other Yisurim also. Does it only apply to Achila, or does it apply to other types of Yisurim? The Chacham Tzvi had a sheet that it only applies to Achila. The problem is, it sounds like it's against some Rishonim. It sounds like it's against Rashi and Shabbos and the Rashbam and our own Maseches Bava Basra. A bunch of Rishonim in different places seem to apply this concept to other Yisurim, which is a whole different discussion for a different time. But one of the major sources in this discussion is the Prima Gadim in Basa B'chalav, where he says, so we know that we have this concept by Achila, that you can't eat a Chatzi Shir of something that's Aser. So what about Bishul, Hana? So is there a prohibition of Bishul also for something less than a Shir? And he doesn't bring into that discussion his whole Torah about the Gezerah, specifically by Bishul, which calls into question whether he would accept that understanding of Bishl. But the reason he's mesupik about it, there's also a discussion about this in a number of other svarim as well, that why is it they have a concept of chatzi shir by eating? So if we assume that it's a gezeira, so what's our concern? Our concern is I have a half a shir of my pork, and now a minute later I'll have another half a shir. So I'll finish the whole issur. Okay, so why is that a whole issur? So I had a half an issur, and a minute later I had another half an issur. Why is that a whole issur? You should say it's two separate acts. So note, because we said before that eating is a kezayis kedei achilas pras. So as long as it happens within the time period of kedei achilas pras, which is itself, of course, machlokas could be anywhere from, say, 2 to 3 minutes to 9 minutes. Let's say it's 2 minutes. So if I have it within the 2 minutes, so then that unifies two acts. Two acts that happened in the same time period are brought together by this notion of kedei achilas pras. But maybe I should say that if it's not about eating, then there is no chiddush of kedei achilas pras, and two separate actions that happen separately are not connected to each other. And therefore, maybe there's nothing to join them, and maybe the concept shouldn't be prohibited by anything other than eating.
We find Sirufim by Zman of...
For what purposes? Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. What are you thinking of?
For Chazara, I mean, like if I want to be Chazara on Devarim, if I want to write Tochi to Dibur, right? So we find that concept as well.
That's not Siruf, though.
I'm saying, but we find...
Right, there are units...
It's a Hemshech.
Right, no, so by Dibur, there is a concept that for certain limited intents and purposes, that Toch Kedei Dibur allows you to have a do-over zone.
Right.
So you're right that it draws on the same kind of concept, that there is a notion of defining time periods and saying certain things are included in the same time period. But that doesn't necessarily help us to say that all Isurim have this unifying factor. It just means that I can undo a speech within a certain amount of time. So as a general rule, we don't necessarily know, perhaps, you could argue on this, but his premise is we don't necessarily know that two discrete actions are unified by anything. Maybe they're always separate. So maybe the whole notion that two actions can be brought together, maybe that's only true when it comes to achila. So that's why the primogodim is not sure if this should apply to anything else. Now, Rabbi Shulam Mikutna, who's a great gaon, has chidushim on Yerideya called the Yavin Das, so he thinks the opposite is true. He thinks that, no, your actions are always joined together. That the notion of kedei achilas pras is a kula by achila, that the clock eventually expires. It's not a chumrah that it allows you to join together two separate things. Your actions are always being added up. Hakol nichtik b'pinkas, everything is written in the book and is added up. So there's a kula when it comes to achila that after a certain amount of time they don't connect. But other than that, if it wasn't for that, everything would connect, and therefore he thinks the whole premise is incorrect. But in any event, so that's the Prima Gadim's discussion. There's a lot more to say about it, but that's Prima Gadim's discussion there in terms of Bishul a small amount, and also in terms of Bishul for too short of a time. So in neither case does he say, well, the whole discussion shouldn't get off the ground because Bishul is Xer and Chatzishir is Xer shouldn't be a discussion, even though he says that by grapes. So therefore maybe he doesn't agree that that's the notion when it comes to Bishul Basu B'chalv. A little bit of a complicated premise, but maybe that's what's going on. So the whole notion also that the shir is a kezayis, is itself a chiddush. As the Chassam Sofer points out in his chiddushim, it's clear from the Gemara and Daf Kuf Ches and elsewhere that the shir of Bishul Basu B'chalav is a kezayis. But why should it be? You know, in Shabbos, the shir for Bishul is not a kezayis. So why should it be a kezayis? The Chassam Sofer explains it's because based on the Rambam and the Halakas of Mishnah, that since the whole issue is eating, so therefore we use the shir for eating, and we assume that it's also to be mevashel whatever the shear for eating is. There is a whole discussion. What should the story be about the concept of ein bishel acher bishel? Kiva Eger has a comment. There is a concept called kavish kemevashel. Let's say you pickle meat and milk together. So that is considered to be prohibited. That's considered to be like bishel. Kavish kemevashel. That presumably is a din d'rabbanan. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, since that's only really like bishul d'rabbanan, so therefore it would be usur to cook that combination afterwards. Because the first step was only usur d'rabbanan. What's he kind of getting at? That if it was real bishul, if it was bishul min ha-Torah, then apparently there would be no problem to cook it twice, a second time. that there would be a concept of ein bishul acher bishul. If you had basar b'chalav, it's already been cooked together, so to cook it again wouldn't necessarily be prohibited, at least min ha'Torah. So that's the whole discussion. Is that true? We say ein bishul acher bishul by bishul basar b'chalav. So some thought yes, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that we don't say it. Shaul Meshev also took that position, and others disagree. And others said it depends, that maybe there's if they were cooked separately, then each item was cooked separately, the milk was cooked separately, the basar was cooked separately, so then there's still an issue to cook them together again. But if they're cooked together once, so then ain't bishul acher bishul after that. So the Achronim ask, why should this be different than the rule when it comes to Shabbos? Now, we first have to say a little Hakdama here, because it's very complicated to figure out what the rule is when it comes to Shabbos. Because, as we know, when it comes to Shabbos, the question of bishul acher bishul, it kind of depends what are we talking about. Are we talking about liquids, where we say that yesh bishul acher bishul, so if you cook something liquidy and it cools down, so it's also to cook it again? Or if it's solid, so then we say in bishul acher bishul. So what's the controlling issue here? So is it that, what's the controlling rule? Is it ein bishul acher bishul with an exception, or is it yesh bishul acher bishul with an exception? So for the purpose of this question, so a number of Achronim assume that the controlling rule on Shabbos is that yesh bishul acher bishul. They use the liquid as the dominant issue. So there, yesh bishul acher bishul. And according to these Achronim, when it comes to basar b'chalav, ein bishul acher bishul. So why should there be a difference? So many suggest that maybe the issue is that when it comes to Shabbos, what's the issue on Shabbos? You're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. So we're interested in you not doing an action of malacha. Shabbos is about prohibiting your actions. When it comes to bishul basar b'chalav, what's our concern? Maybe our concern is creating the result of combination of bishul basar b'chalav. You're not allowed to cook basar b'chalav because you don't want to create the merger of basar b'chalav. So when it comes to Shabbos, if the issur is the action, so then, even if the action has been done before, we don't want you to do the action again. When it comes to bishul basar b'chalav, if the issue is the creation of this combination, once it's already been created, maybe there's no additional issur to cook this combination once again. But doing that creation, I mean, that's a little bit of a vort, you know, that doesn't necessarily, we don't necessarily know that that's the gather of, I mean, it could be true, but we don't necessarily know that it's the gather of the malach is. But for you to do a creative act, even within that idea, it's doing a creative act that is the problem.
So it's not necessarily the creation
itself. Yeah, that's what the Gemara
seems to be saying at the opposite, almost like using the flip sora. I was saying that the end result is what matters by
right, and not by Shabbos.
Not by Shabbos, right.
The point of Shabbos is not that you shouldn't have creations, is that you should not do the action which happens to bring about creations. You should not do creative actions. So, in fact, that's where the Gemara makes the point, that the Gemara actually makes the explicit point that even though we have an Isser and Maisa Shabbos, so you can't benefit from things that are done on Shabbos, the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us that that's an Isser Rabbanan. And the Gemara contrasts that, really, with basar b'chalav in one context. That the same way we said before, kol shati avti l'cha rei b'al tocho, so there is a prohibition to benefit from the consequences of cooking meat and milk. So there should be an ister min ha'Torah to benefit from the consequences of malacha and Shabbos. Yeah, it's a tawaver, it's an ister. You create something, you do this act of ister, there should be an ister min ha'Torah to benefit from it. And the Gemara says, no, that's not true. From the Pasuk, Ku Kodesh Vein Ma'asecha Kodesh, Ein Ma'aseha Kodesh, that Shabbos is Kodesh, and its results, things that happen on it are not Kodesh, and that it's Davka, that the prohibition of Ma'ase Shabbos is only Nisa D'Rabbanan, which is essentially the same point, that we're not interested in what is created so much, we're interested in not doing the creative act, and Chazal asked the creation, which is an interesting discussion of itself, how that plays into understanding Shabbos. Be happy to discuss that separately. But a lot to say about that for a different time. But just for our purposes right now of contrasting it with basar b'chalav, so it seems that Shabbos is about not doing this creation, not doing the creative act, and basar b'chalav is about not bringing about the creation. And if the creation is already there, so those who believe that there's ein bishul acher bishul by basa v'chalav is saying once you already made this creation, perhaps there's no additional iser in cooking it again. Similarly, there is a safek that the Menches Chinuch has, and also Rabbi Shlomo Mikutna has in his Yavin Das, that there is a concept we find in the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos called Shnayim Shasua, that normally if you have a malacha which could be done by one person, and two people do it, kind of an artificial way, it really should be a one-person job, so then the Menat Torah, that's Pater. So the question was raised, what if you have two people doing an active Bishul Basa B'chalav? I don't know exactly how the two do it together to push the button in the oven. I don't know exactly how it works, but you have two people together doing Bishul Basa B'chalav in a Shnayim Shasua fashion. So there is a suffix whether this should apply to Bishul Basa B'chalav just like it does to Shabbos. Rav Svengel has a tshuva. Rav Svengel's tshuvas are a little less well known than his other svarim, but he has a sefer of tshuvas called Tshuvas Ben Paras. So in Siman Yud, in the Tshuvas Ben Paras, he talks about this question. That what do you say about Shnayim Shasua by Shari Surim? Is it only a concept by Shabbos, or is this an exemption that applies to other things? Which also draws heavily on understanding the concept of Malacha Shabbos, which again, happy to revisit in a different night. So Rav Scheinberg in his Sefer Mishmeres Chaim, so he asks in the Minchas Chinuch, why should you even have a suffix? Why should we not assume that this applies B'chalav Torah Kula and it should apply to Basa B'chalav also? So he suggests, I believe he has this Teretz himself, that maybe you could say the same idea, that when it comes to Shabbos, so we're prohibiting actions. So the whole chiddush of Shnayim Shaso is that if the action is compromised, because it's being done in either in an abnormal way or halfway, there's some kind of lack, there's some kind of deficiency in the action. So for the purposes of Shabbos, that's significant. But when it comes to Bishul Basa B'chalav, that's not about actions, it's about bringing about this result. And therefore, the fact that your action was compromised because it was done in this strange way, that does not necessarily have any impact on the result that's brought about. So both of these ideas, by Ein Bishul Acher Bishul and by Shnayim Shasol, the notion that we're focusing on the result as opposed to the action that we find in Hilchos Shabbos, so it is consistent with this idea that if we assume that Bishul is a siag for Achila, so what do we mean? We mean that the Isser of Bishul is to bring about a merger of Basa B'chalav, which then might be eaten. So it's the bringing about that's the issue, and we're not so interested in whether or not there is a Misa in that happening. Hi.
What about multiple people that kill someone?
So that's all discussion in the Gemara, how that's, which whether they're all equally guilty in killing, or whether they're...
Isn't that this question?
Maybe, maybe not. Then you also have to get a little bit into the question of what the gather of killing is, which is also a precious note of topic, so it's still also a separate discussion. God willing, put it on the list. So, there is a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Machalos Asuras in Paraktas Halacha Dalet, the Rambam has a very controversial position. And the Rambam says that, as we know, chicken and milk is not asur min haTorah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili didn't think it was asur at all. And chicken and milk is asur min derabbanan. So the Rambam says, in the context of telling us this Isser, that the only prohibition of chicken and milk is eating it. And cooking it is actually mutter, not asur at all. So that's very difficult. It's against the lot of Rishonim. It's difficult for one reason, because it sounds like it's against the Gemara. But we won't deal with that issue. The Gemara, the first Mishnah in Kol HaBasar, so the Mishnah begins, Kol HaBasar asur levashul b'chalav, that all of meat, you're not allowed to cook with milk. And the Mishnah says, what's the language of Kol HaBasar? What are we trying to include? Well, the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah say Kol HaBasar? What does it mean to include by saying all of the basar? So the Gemara says, this is to include even asur midrabbanan and even chicken. So it sounds like the way the Gemara is reading the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is telling us explicitly that chicken cannot be cooked with milk. So how does the Rambam read the Mishnah? That's one question. That's one problem she won't even deal with. Others raise the question that why don't we say kol tikkun rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun, and why shouldn't it be that chicken should be treated exactly like meat? So a number of reasons to question this position of the Rambam, and the Marcheshes has a whole discussion about this, the Beis Halevi has a lot of discussion about how the Rambam comes to this position that milk should be permissible. to cook milk and chicken should be permissible. Thank you. That's the question of how milk should be permissible is a whole different discussion. But the question of how of why cooking chicken and milk should be permissible is itself an issue. So,
Turkey. Is that a whole different thing?
Really that's a whole different discussion. Yeah.
Turkey
is a whole question whether it's mutter or not at all.
Right.
Because it's Masorah. Would the Rambam hold that it's... Yeah.
It's even chicken, I'm saying.
It should be nothing. Should be par.
It's par.
I don't think you go that far.
One or the other.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Again, for another night. Thanksgiving night. maybe we won't talk about it. All right. So, in any event, so maybe we could suggest, within the Rambam, maybe it's possible to say that... The Rambam is holding that chicken should be mutter because it's a gzeira l'gzeira. Then maybe he holds bishul basar l'chalav as a gzeira l'shitas, so this whole vort was being said in the Rambam the whole time, that he holds bishul as a gzeira. So maybe if bishul is a gzeira and chicken is a gzeira for meat, so maybe bishul chicken is a gzeira l'gzeira. Now, to say that, you wouldn't have to come on to the whole chiddush of the Prima Gadim that we said before that was so difficult, because the Prima Gadim was talking about two Isurim Daraisa. So to say that an Isur Daraisa on top of an Isur Daraisa is not going to be Chal, because it's a Gzeira L'Gzeira, is difficult to say. But here, you don't have to come on to that. All you have to say is that Bishul is a Gzeira Min HaTorah, and therefore Chazal did not extend that Gzeira to their Gzeira of chicken. Because when they made a gezeira, they only made it on something that was aser be'etzem and not on a gezeira. So you don't have to say the whole chiddush to Prima Gadim. You just have to say that Chazal did not make a gezeira on top of an iser deraisa that was itself a gezeira. So at least you're maintaining the Chazal position. So it's not as surprising as the Prima Gadim's view.
I'm sorry. Bishul Chalav itself is the gezeira, or Bishul Chalav Chetzi Shor is the gezeira?
The Bishul Basar B'Chalav is a gzeira according to the Kesef Mishnah's reading in the Rambam and according to strong indications within the Rambam. I mean, we've been assuming this from the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say this explicitly. The Kesef Mishnah says it explicitly, but he says it in the Das of the Rambam. So Bishul itself is a gzeira and chicken is a gzeira. So maybe you could say gzeira the gzeira. Just as a side point, the Chassam Sofer, his Chidushim over there, Chassam Sofer Tshuva actually says that the issue is that there is a famous position of the Taz. The Taz has in three places that if the Torah specifically permits something, so Chazal don't come and prohibit it. I think we talked about this maybe a little bit before we entered. So if that's the case, so when the Torah, what did the Torah explicitly talk about in the context of Basar B'Chalav? A gedi. Okay, so what does a gedi do? So the Gemara tells us that gedi does not mean chicken. So if gedi means not chicken, so it's as if the Torah is saying chicken is beferish, not a part of this whole story. And since the Torah uses the word bishul in all of its prohibitions, so it's as if the Torah specifically said chicken is not part of the prohibition of bishul. It's a little bit of a stretch, but that's what the Chassam Sofer understood. If you look at his son, the Ksav Sofer, in his Chidushim on Chulin, he has the opposite idea. Take a look. He says the same. He uses the Taz also, but uses it in the opposite way. Okay. There is also a whole din. A number of poskim have the Marsham and others. He's Yad Ephraim talks about this. A number of poskim talk about the question: what if I happen to have a candle that's made out of bishul basar b'chalav? It's made out of basar b'chalav. So this actually comes up in Hilchos Chanukah. In Hilchos Chanukah, Nosa Kedem and Shulchan Aruch quote this issue. So it's kind of timely. Next Yantar. So let's say you have Chanukah candles that happen to be made out of Basar B'Chalav. So can you light them? Is that an act of Bishul?
It's Hana.
So is that Hana? So that's a question. Mitzvah Lav Lahenis. No, Mitzvah Lav Lahenis. That whole story. You get into the whole Mitzvah Lav Lahenis issue. It's one of the many interesting issues that come up in this question. Is that called Hana? On a couple levels, we have to talk about. So let's leave the issue of Hana aside. Is that called Bishul Basar B'Chalav? So a lot of different svaras the Achronim used, those who were Makel, and there are those who are Makel, the different svaras that they used to be Makel. But some suggest that maybe you should say that here it's going to be consumed. So there's no possibility of eating it. So maybe the whole issue of Bishul Basar B'Chalav should only be a problem if it's possible to eat it, like we started off with. So here, if it's going to be consumed, you're not going to necessarily have that problem.
Wait, wouldn't this be a Bishul Acher Bishul anyway? How do you get the candle?
I don't know, they were melted together, it's actually called Bishul. Maybe.
Yeah.
And again, assuming you get it, some do bring that far in, the Bishul Acher Bishul question. But again, as you're bringing in a couple of disputed positions, assuming that you believe is Bishul Acher Bishul. So there's a lot of svaras that are discussed in the topic of this particular shayla. You don't think it comes up? You never saw a Basar B'Chalav candles in your local Judaica store? There's more literature about it than there ever was candles in the world, but there is an extensive discussion about this. So there's more svaras lahakel than there are actual Basar B'Chalav candles. One of them is that that it's not possible to eat it, and therefore it should be
should be
mutter.
We do it.
It's telesuffic. I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can't do it in the dorm room.
It's absolutely
yeah, in the dorm room. It's additional concept.
Separate question.
I don't know what the rules are on Gluck, but it's dorms. Yeah, I don't. Anyway, so it's a lot of sphakes to take into consideration. So the, sphakes, a lot. I don't know. So the Chabina Rav has a tshuva, the David Meisharim. It's also, it's hard to believe this happened, but apparently it was halacha l'maisa, we discussed it. He says a person developed a kashrus lab where he is able to analyze whether food contains basar b'chalav in it, in his lab. However, the process of the experiment involves an act of bishul. So is it permissible to perform this test? You want to know. You don't want to eat it. You want to know that it has basar b'chalav in it, so you'll stay away. But the act of ascertaining whether it has basar b'chalav is itself an act of bishul. So should we allow this test, which would be potentially bishul basar b'chalav? So the Shabbina Rav said it should be mutter. Because here, the whole purpose of this test is so that you won't eat it if it's basar b'chalav. So we don't have to necessarily worry about something which is a gezeirah that we should come to eat it. He has rayas for this. For example, he talks about the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that maybe we shouldn't allow bedikas chametz. Maybe we shouldn't have you searching for chametz, especially after the zman of the iser, because you're not allowed to eat chametz. So if you're not allowed to eat chametz, it sounds like a bad idea that you should look for chametz to find, which you then might be in danger of eating. So the Gemara says, no, who asked for Machzor El Dasarfo? The whole point, you're looking for this, so you should destroy it. So if you're looking for it, destroy it, so we're not concerned that you're going to come to eat it. So too here, he says, if you're going to test this item to see if it has Basar B'Chalav, so you'll stay away from it, so we're not concerned you're going to come to eat it. So therefore, the act of bishul should be mutter. And Rav Shechter had an article a number of years ago in the Beis Yitzchak. I think maybe it was one of his Nefesh HaRav sections, maybe it ended up in this farm, I don't know, that he quoted from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the same Shaila with the same Psak, that such a test should be mutter because you're not going to have a concern of eating. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik based his ruling on the Rambam that we mentioned at the beginning, not on the Ketzer Mishnah, but on the Rambam in Machol Sasuris, where he says that the reason the Torah uses language of Bishul is because it's all about the extreme Isra Achila. So it says that that's a reason to be mounted this test as well. Hi.
It just sounds like it's similar to whether or not you have a mixture and you want to taste if it's Basar B'Chalav. So you want to taste if there's a tam. So you're not supposed to get a Yisrael to taste. You're supposed to get a goy. So if that's also, tasting is also because, I think a lot of assumptions, because of Chatzit Shir, because you might come to eat more. So that would be Mutter.
Maybe yes, maybe no. And a tasting is a lot closer to eating. I mean, you could say once we're already talking about permission to cook under some circumstances, we've already kind of opened the door here. Because you could say that bishul is already a nesa deraisa, so you should say bishul, maybe it should be worse than ti'ima. So it's a fair point, but we've already kind of traveled down this path that we're making bishul contingent on achila, and it seems to allow us to view the Isser as completely subject to that. So if you say there's no Achila, then there's no Bishul. But Ti'ima is a little closer to eating. Ti'ima might already be eating, so it's a little more dangerous.
But it's only because of Chatzit Shir.
Right.
Ti'ima, you're not going to have more than Chatzit Shir, so we're all afraid.
And Ti'ima might even be eating Achla, the whole Sugi and Brach, which is, you can also put on the list. Okay, it's something to think about. In any event, So that segues to, let's say, our last point. A number of other issues to talk about, but we'll just maybe go to this last point. Rav Pesach Frank has a comment in his Tshuvas, and the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, where they suggest really going in a different path than everything we've said so far. That maybe we should say that none of these nafka mitzvahs make a difference. That once there's an Isser in the Torah, so it doesn't matter what the reason is. There's a whole machlokas in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, whether we say darshin in time of the Kriya or not. Do we have the right to figure out what a pasuk means in order to paskin based on that? So maybe we should say that at the end of the day, so there's an Isser in the Torah. Who cares what the svara is behind it? If there's an Isser in the Torah, so that's going to be binding. And interestingly, the Tshuvas Chazon Nochem takes that stance. I say it's interesting because the Chazon Nochem was the brother of the David Misharim. David Misharim, we mentioned a minute ago, was allowing this chemistry test, and his brother, the Chazon Nochem, said, no, not about the Shaila, but about the whole endeavor of making nafka minas for this whole concept. He says, it doesn't matter. It may be the reason of the Torah's prohibition was this, but at the end of the day, it's an Isser Min HaTorah. So that maybe we could have started with, that might have been your instinctive position, but the fact is, we see that there is a whole huge camp of major achronim that didn't take that path. Within this shiloh, they felt ready to make nafka minas if it seemed muchruch. And certainly in the Chatzi Shir discussion, which we didn't really get into tonight, but there is a very strong group of very heavy hitters among the achronim who are ready to make nafka minas based on Chatzi Shir being a siyad. So there is a very respectable tradition among the biggest achronim to make such nafka minas. So as much as we might think it's a little surprising, and we might side with the view of the Chazon Nachum that it doesn't seem appropriate, it still seems to be the case, our whole discussion till now, and also discussion in other sikhs as well, that there does seem to be a readiness in many achronim to distinguish based on this assumption that something might be a siyag. So that's something we have to figure out. Is it indeed true that Bishul Basu B'chalav is the siyag, or is it perhaps subject to a different understanding? Maybe we'll stop here just to... Okay, yes?
I just wanted to ask you a general question. Doesn't the Yisr Hanah include eating?
It's a separate Yisr.
But doesn't it include it?
So it should, by itself, you mean it should also be...
Just Bishul and Hanah.
It's also a whole question how the relationship is, particularly when it comes to Basa B'chal, of the relationship between Achila and Hanah. It could also be that Hanah is an extreme version of Achila. It gets into the whole Mekudim Mekudah issue. Put it on the list. Okay, so just to quickly, Chazer, we spoke about the fact that the Kesef Mishnah says in the Ram Melchus Tumas Meis that Bishul Basu B'chalav is the Gzeira, and the Chassam Sofer says that's why the Gemara mentions this or Achila first, because that's what it's all about. And the Rambam himself sounds like this in Achalas Asuris when he says that the Torah uses the language Bishul because Bishul means if you can't cook, then for sure you can't eat. So you have this whole approach that it's a, and the Kivager says that this is like the Kesef Mishnah, and then you have this whole approach that Bishul is a siag for Achila. On the other hand, there are those who didn't think that, thought the other way, maybe either that Bishul is separate, or that really Bishul is the whole point, and that's why the Torah uses lots of Bashul each time. And when the Gemara says, Kol sheti avti lo chahari b'al toichel, it's a way of saying that Bishul is the problem. Once you can't cook, so then you certainly can't eat the results of that. So then we discussed some potential nafka minas of seeing Bishul is a siag. We mentioned the stechemet according to the Yisraelei that if you're cooking for a non-Jew who won't let you have it, then it should be mutter. We mentioned it's questionable whether Toskan would accept such a kula. We mentioned the Prima Garden is very interesting chiddush that the Ein Gozrin Gezeru LeGezeru, even Minat Torah. That's why he says that the Medrash and Nasa says that grapes for a Nazir is a siag. Chatzishir, a lot of Achronim thought was also a siag. The Prima Garden says Chatzishir grapes a siag l'siag. We thought that was a tremendous chiddush because Gozrin Gezeru LeGezeru is usually based on the assumption that we're dealing with the Rabbanans. So we suggested a little bit al piderach suggestion that maybe what's going on here is that Chazal were patting themselves after Daraisa. That's why the Avos Reb Nosson says it's Yusag the Torah and look at what the Torah does. And Tosus and Chulin seems to say that in Gozrin L'Gzeira, L'Gzeira is such an automatically obvious idea, maybe because Chazal saw that that was the pattern of the Torah as well. And then we considered the question of, if we take this whole discussion and transfer it over to Basu B'chalav, so if we believe that Bishul is a siag, so the Prima Gadim and others should then perhaps say that Bishul, Basu B'chalav, B'chatzi Shir should be Mutter, but that's not the view the Prima Gadim takes, certainly not just simply plugging it into the formula that he has there. He has a suffix about it, and other Achronim discussed it as well. And then there's also a discussion about qualitative Bishul, Basu B'chalav, What if you want to cook something that's a full shear, but you want to cook it less than a Meichel Ben Drusai? So should that perhaps be mutter? And that was a discussion with Primagad and Prichadish and others. Then we discussed the fact that the shear itself is a kazayas, is really a chiddush, because why should it be? That's not the case when it comes to Shabbos. And the Chassam Sofer says in its chiddushim, it's because the whole issur is about achila, like we see from the Rambam. Therefore, we make the shear for bishul based on that also. And then we discussed the question of bishul achar bishul and shnayim shalaso, that a lot of achronim, not everybody, a lot of achronim maintain that there's no issur bishul achar bishul by basa b'chalav. And then if you assume yesh bishul achar bishul by Shabbos, which is a big question because we mentioned we're not sure which one is the controlling element, lach or yavesh, when it comes to Shabbos, but let's assume for the purpose of this question that the achronim who ask it are right, that it's yesh bishul achar bishul, and by this bas b'chalav it's ein bishul achar bishul. So maybe the issue is that bas b'chalav, it's about creating this combination, so we're interested in the result, and Shabbos, it's about the action of Shabbos. And the Gemara explicitly contrasts them by saying that the results of bishul bas b'chalav are aser, and the results of chil Shabbos are mutter min ha-Torah, and only aser midrabanan. And that also seems to come up in the question of shnayim shalaso, the Minchas Chinuch and the Bishul Mekutno have this suffix about whether Shnaim Shalaso should apply to Bishul Basu B'chalav, like Rav Yitzchak Fengel has a suffix by Chalat Torah Kula, and if Scheinberg raises the question, what should the suffix be there for? So he suggests that maybe when it comes to Shabbos, the Yisr is the action, so Shnaim Shalaso compromises the action, but when it comes to Bishul Basu B'chalav, the Yisr is the result, and we're not so concerned if the action is not really significant. So this distinction seems to also work off the idea that we're worried about creating a combination of basu b'chalav, and once that creation has been combined, so then we don't necessarily have the same concern about it being cooked again. Now we mentioned the whole issue of cooking chicken, that the Rambam says that cooking chicken with milk is mutter, against what seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara reading the Mishnah, and also against other svaras that would have indicated the other way. So we mentioned the Chassam Sofer that said it was because of the Taz that you can't ask for something that's prepared in the Chumash. We suggested that maybe it's a siag min haTorah, maybe it's a siag l'siag, rather that if you say that bishul is a siag, which we've been assuming is the Rambam's position the whole time, and chicken is for sure a siag, so maybe cooking chicken is a siag l'siag. And this doesn't require the whole chiddush of the Prima Gadim, because we're talking about a gezeira derabanan on top of a isra deraisa that would be termed a gezeira. And then we talked about the question of Hanukkah candles that are made out of basu b'chalav, is it also to light them, alt bishul? Many, many svaras in both directions, many svaras b'hakil. One of them being that maybe if it's going to be completely consumed, there should be no isra bishul, because the whole concern is that we're going to come to eat it. Then we talked about the suffix that the David Meisharim has, if you have a chemistry test for some food item to see if it has basu b'chalav in it, and the test itself is bishul, should we allow it? So maybe, yes, that is his conclusion, because the whole point is you want to protect yourself from the isser, so you don't have to make a gzeira not to do that, because that goes against the opposite of what you're doing. And that the Rav Shechter quoted from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik having the same approach when he asked a very similar question, basing himself on the language of the Rambam we mentioned at the beginning. And I mentioned that there are a few other issues also. We didn't get into all the details, but there are some achronim who raised an objection to making any afkaminas here. Most explicitly, the Chazon Nachum of the Shibin Rav's brother, of Nachum Wiedenfeld, says that at the end of the day, it's an Issa Deraisa, so it makes no difference what you think the Issa Deraisa is based on. And nonetheless, not so explicitly, we see a huge literature in major poskim that did seem to be ready to make nafkaminas, both in terms of this gezeira, in terms of chatzis shir, in terms of other isurim deraisa that have a possible gezeira quality to them. So there were many achronim that seemed to be ready to discuss nafkaminas. And on the other hand, you have those who in this context who thought that maybe it doesn't make sense to make nafkaminas because at the end of the day it's deraisa. So that itself is a question, which all goes back to our original question, is it even a gezeira to begin with? Seems to be somewhat of a discussion. Okay, we will stop here. We